For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here. This is a point that I've seen a couple of people make, and it feels like a coping mechanism to me to kind of move on with Vinny Pasquantino. I want to get your thoughts on it, Rob. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, did you know that Vinny Pasquantino was 0-15 in Cleveland before getting a hit, and we won those games? The Royals don't have the bullpen to get to the playoffs. Now, I'm going to tell you what I told this gentleman. I have to back up my opinions on this show. You know, you guys hold me accountable to these scenarios. If you don't think the Royals are making the postseason, right now your $20 bet can win you $120. Don't tell me, tell FanDuel. There's money to be made if you were on the opposite side of the Royals making the postseason. Don't just tell the same phone that you are using right now. You can make some money off of this opinion. I believe the Royals are still making the postseason. Heading into October, they are 5.5 games up on the Boston Red Sox. They're better than Boston. At this point, they only really need to be better than two other teams. I mean, it'd be great to be better than Cleveland. They really need to be better than Minnesota and Boston. I think they are going to do that over the final month of the season. So I am very hopeful and very optimistic in their postseason chances. Vegas is too. But if you don't think they're making the postseason, then I'm being serious. You don't have to tell me. Tell DraftKings. They'll even give you a no-sweat bet against the Royals if you want to for the postseason at plus 600. There's money to be made. Your $50 can turn into $300 if you don't think they're making the postseason. So scrounge up $50 and bet against the Royals. The point about Vinny, though, and what I think is the defense mechanism, I don't care about those three games against Cleveland. The Royals yesterday had a player who has 130 hits, 30 doubles, 19 home runs, 97 RBIs, and is hitting .265. That player is now out of their lineup for the rest of the season, and they don't have a great option on how to replace them. So the Vinny Pasquantino point is more than just the three games they played earlier this week. They need him. They need him. You know they need him. My question is, where do you now sit with this now that we're here? If your take is they can't make the postseason without Vinny Pasquantino, that is a stance. I'm not telling you you're right or you're wrong. We will obviously see if that's the case. But to me, we can't use the argument of, well, they just beat three games against Cleveland. Vinny didn't have a hit. He doesn't matter that much. Yes, he does. He matters a whole lot for this team. He is one of their three most important offensive players, and you lose him during the most important stretch of the season, and he has no plan on returning. If this was a May thing that happened, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Baseball happens, so come back after the All-Star break, and you'll be ready to go. Vinny Pasquantino is not going to play another game for the Kansas City Royals this season, so they're going to have to figure out a way to kind of patchwork his offense together. The Royals had, I would say, maybe 2 to 3 really big advantages. They have the best baseball player in the world on their team. That's a big one. They have one of the better rotations in Major League Baseball, and Salvador Perez. Man, right in the middle of that was Vinny Pasquantino. This is a major hit. So I'm not here to tell you that it's doom and gloom and that everything is over. But I also think on the other side, we can't make it seem like this is not a significant injury for the Royals and something that is going to be very difficult for them to overcome, Rob.
I feel like it's tough because I understand where the text line is coming from, where it says, like, see, they didn't do well. He didn't do well against Cleveland. This team will be fine. I also understand where the other people come from, where they say things like, well, you know, he's putting up these stats. But I feel like, and it's a boring take. I know that probably not good for radio, but I want to see, because I just got the alert. They brought up Nick Lofton as the replacement for Vinny Pasquantino. He's not a replacement for Vinny Pasquantino, but, you know, how many times the text line have Carrington, have you seen play more Freddie Fermin? Salvador Perez is white hot. Bobby Witt's white hot. I think the Royals could survive in advance this Vinny Pasquantino injury, to the same point that text line is making about his bad series against Cleveland. It's possible they can just tread water and be a playoff team without him. It's also possible, I don't want to say this collapses the season, but suddenly Adam Frazier might be hitting fifth, and that's just light years different than what your lineup was yesterday. 100%. And a team like the Yankees that has good pitching, and I know I'm cherry picking, could mow through you more easily, and now the stress heightens on the rest of the team. So I understand both sides of the coin, and I tend to lean the skeptic. I still think they're a playoff team, but I think we talked on Wednesday about, hey, I don't think there's anyone in the AL that the Royals should be scared of. I think that conversation's dead and gone. There are lots of teams in the AL without Vinny Pasquantino you should be scared of. But I don't know it's doom and gloom, but I also don't know it's, hey, they'll survive in advance. I want to see a sample size of it before I make any sweeping judgments.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, Vinny is getting close to earning the injury-prone label. I don't think that's fair when the baseball hit you in the hand and it broke your thumb. That's a little different than when we talk about guys being injury prone. Yesterday, sports just happened for the Royals, and it's unfortunate that it happened that way. But yesterday, there's no way for you to prevent the injury that happened. Some of the injuries that happen to guys, you can avoid. They're soft tissue injuries. They're because you didn't eat right. You didn't condition your body well enough. Every baseball player in the game would have got hurt yesterday off the play that Vinny Pasquantino got hurt on. So I don't think it's fair to put that label on him based on that injury. It was just one of those unfortunate things that happened. Now, I've seen a lot of people talking about Paul DeJong playing first base. Did you know that Paul DeJong has never played first base before? Not once. He has played, I just Googled his splits. He has played 763 games at shortstop. He has played a little bit of second, a little bit of third. Now, I don't know what all goes into playing first base at this level, and we can obviously ask Josh Vernier later on today, but heading into the most important games of the season, my plan would not be to put somebody at first base who has never played first base at this level before. I would not do that.
What's that scene from Moneyball? Tell them how easy it is, Wash. It's extremely difficult to play first base. Now, it's a movie, but I don't know that I'm rolling the dice with first career start at first. Go get him, Tiger. Now, maybe you put Salvador Perez at first, and he's not the world's best defensive first baseman, and now that opens up a DH slot, or that there are ways to massage the roster and get DeJong more at-bats. I'm all for that conceptually, but I don't think it's MLB The Show where you can just say, yeah, put him at first. Screw it. Why not? That doesn't seem like real life.
No, it doesn't feel like it's real life either. I would like to point out, I've seen a lot of people bring this up about the kid that they got from Florida, the first baseman. Not here to be Debbie Downer, and I'm all here for solutions. The kid is 21 years old, and right now in A-ball, he is hitting .234.
He also has 18 strikeouts and 18 hits. That's not great.
That guy, I'm just not bringing him up in the middle of a playoff push and thinking that he can help you now at this point. I'm just, that's not where I am. Not a kid who earlier this year was playing at Florida. Like, not even that long ago was playing at Florida. I mean, like, this summer was playing baseball at Florida. I don't think that guy's a solution when you lose Vinny Pasquantino. I'm still hopeful. I'm optimistic about him. He's 21 years old. Right now, he's an A-ball. He ain't lighting the cover off the ball down there. I would just, let's give him a little bit of time here. I think their solution is Paul DeJong. I'm not saying at first base. Their solution offensively needs to be, this is why you got Paul DeJong. He's not the hitter that Vinny Pasquantino is, but if you need somebody that can hit for a little bit of power and help drive in runs, he is the answer to that question. They need Paul DeJong. He is now the X factor for this team the final 27 games of the season. They need a good version of him. He is a better and more consistent hitter than the other possible options. I'm not as worried about how you replace Vinny defensively at first base. I'm trying to figure out how the Royals are the only team in baseball that have three players that have 90 RBIs. One of those players is just off the team for the rest of it. How do you replace that run production? There's not a lot of viable options at this point. There is one in Paul DeJong. I would try to give him a lot more at bats over the course of the next 3 weeks.
I mean, I think Paul DeJong is as good of a plan as any. I mean, he has shown he is a major league level player. He has shown that he can put the ball over the wall. You can play him at third. You can play him, like, there are places to play him in the field. Like, you can massage the roster a little bit. He's not your first baseman, but I'm all for Paul DeJong as the obvious solution, becoming an everyday player. I don't know he's a one-for-one replacement for Vinny Pasquantino, but I think he is the best of the options you possibly have, because it's September 1st in the next 24 hours. There is absolutely no solution coming down the pipeline. They don't have some riding on a white horse savior in AAA. It doesn't exist. So DeJong's as good an option as any.
Let's go to the phone lines here. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Gianni called into the show. Hey, G, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, C-Dot. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Appreciate you calling in today.
Yeah, of course. Rob, guys, I appreciate you always taking my call. One question that I have for you, and then just kind of give you my thoughts. Do we know where Urcig sits on his wrist hand injury?
I have not seen that. We're going to have Vern join us at 4:30. He's going to give us an update. I haven't seen an update yet on Urcig.
Okay. And you know, I like how Lynch pitched the other night. I thought that was a breath of fresh air. I'm a little concerned about that, you know, that sixth through eighth inning kind of relief. But you know, hopefully Urcig's good to go. But yeah, Lynch, I think, stepped up really good, you know, the other night. But my thing on Vinny, you guys kind of stole my thunder on that one. I'm 100% on board with the DeJong move. I think he's going to be a good fit to back up behind Bobby, just where Pasquantino was going. But I wanted to see what your thoughts were on, I know you said Lofton was just moved up, so that kind of answered my question. But I know we got a couple guys on the catching side that have been doing really well in the minors. What are your thoughts on, you know, having Fermin at catcher a little more, which I don't think anybody would argue that he's doing well. I mean, he's first in the league at you know, catching stolen bases, and putting Salvi at first just a little bit more.
Gee, I appreciate the phone call. We'll talk more about this coming up on the other side. I do think that part of the plan is going to be Salvador Perez playing a little bit more first base and them having a battery of different guys at catcher. We'll talk about that more coming up on the other side, and we'll talk about what has turned into the top story in the National Football League. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep, spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
All right, let's dive into some of the top stories right now in the National Football League. I think over the Labor Day weekend, there are only two stories that you need to be paying attention to. Story number one is Ja'Marr Chase. Now, I don't have a problem with players holding out. I understand that some of you do. You signed a contract. You need to honor that contract. You guys never worry about this when a player gets cut. No one feels bad for Russell Wilson that the Broncos got rid of him. The Chiefs just cut Kadarius Toney. I didn't see too many tears for why don't the Chiefs honor their deal. That's the game. If the team is able to have that stance with contracts, then you as a player, the one getting tackled, you have the ability to use your leverage to try to get more money. I understand why Ja'Marr Chase is frustrated with his contract. Everybody this offseason has gotten paid but you. Think about this offseason. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, D.J. Moore, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill got an extension, Nico Collins got paid, Michael Pittman Jr. got paid. If you are decent at wide receiver, your employer has given you good money this year to come catch passes from their quarterback. The only person that hasn't gotten paid that's that guy is Ja'Marr Chase. So I understand his frustration. I really do. My brother, I want you to get paid. But I'm going to tell you something that should be obvious. If you are not playing this week, we are going to know by Tuesday. By the time you, maybe you're heading down to the lake right now, by the time you get back, by the time Florida State is done playing Georgia Tech, when we all get to back to work on Tuesday, if Ja'Marr Chase is not there on Tuesday, he is not playing this week. We did the same thing last year with Chris Jones. You don't just show up on Wednesday when you haven't been playing for an NFL team and just suit up. That ain't how this works. Now, you can show up on Sunday and you go through a light walkthrough and you're limited in practice and they put you out there. I think that's very, very possible. But by this time on Tuesday, you will have your answer on if Ja'Marr Chase is playing in week one of the NFL season. And then we will take this on a week by week, game by game basis. I want to see Ja'Marr Chase out there. I always want to see the best players in the NFL play. But I also understand how if you are Ja'Marr Chase and you are one of the five best wide receivers in the National Football League, how you don't want to be on your rookie contract anymore. Not when this season you are going to make $1 million. I understand how if you're only going to make $1 million this year, I get it how you need to be making $35 million this year. So, Ja'Marr, I'm on your side here. You guys know I am as pro player as one can be in these scenarios. But it's go time. We are less than a week away from the Chiefs and Ravens game. We are a little bit more than a week away from all the other teams playing. If you are on for this week for your game against the New England Patriots, we need to know by close of business Monday whether you're coming to work or not. If you are not coming to work, we will have to figure that out, but we have to move forward business as usual. They are not the only team that is in this conversation. Trent Williams and the San Francisco 49ers are also in that same boat. Now, it's a little bit different. Ja'Marr Chase has kind of been around. Trent Williams has not been around at all. He is not holding in. He is holding out. Kind of like Chris Jones last year. Remember, Chris Jones was not just at camp, at practice, on the sideline. Like, nah, he was in Miami working out. That's where Trent Williams is. Trent Williams knows what I know regarding San Francisco. They need him. I believe that Trent Williams is the most important player on their team. I like Brock Purdy. I like Christian McCaffrey. You guys know that. Christian McCaffrey might be my favorite player in the league. Their team does not work if they don't have Trent Williams. It doesn't. He's the best offensive lineman in the league. He's going to the Hall of Fame at one point. He is one of the best left tackles that we have ever seen. Their team works because of how physical they are. Their team works because they can run the football effectively, and they do a great job of protecting their quarterback. So you have put out one fire if you were John Lynch, and that fire was Brandon Ayuk. And usually the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Trent Williams has not been the squeaky wheel. You now need to take care of it. And last point here on holdouts and why I don't know how more of you just don't see the effectiveness of all of this. Brandon Ayuk does not get paid if he just goes to work every day quietly. He doesn't. Sometimes in this business, you need to be a disruptor. And you know what holding in is? You are a disruption. They eventually had to do something with you. Eventually, they had to do something. You have made it clear you were not going to play under your current contract. You were going back and forth about whether you were going to hold out or what you were going to do. The squeaky wheel got the grease, and you got exactly what you wanted. They paid you. Now, I want to read this to you, and I want to bring this up, Rob, because for some weird reason, you love the Broncos wide receivers. It blows my mind that you love them so much.
I mean, Sutton's a star. Tim Patrick's probably the greatest player I've ever seen play football. You know how I love Jerry Jeudy, too. They've traded so many of those good pieces off. It makes me sad.
Is Tim Patrick in the league right now? Is he on a team?
I mean, I don't know why Randy Moss wouldn't be employed. It makes no sense to me.
So Diana Rossini of The Athletic put this out yesterday. The 49ers were only willing to trade Brandon Ayuk if they could get a top-flight wide receiver to replace him. They offered a third-round pick to the Broncos for Cortland Sutton, but the Broncos declined the deal. After that, the Niners would have traded Brandon Ayuk to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wait, wait, wait. You are telling me, is what you want me to believe. I mean, I believe Diana Rossini, so I'm not calling her a liar anyways. You're telling me that the San Francisco 49ers called and were willing to give you a third-round pick for Cortland Sutton. They were ready to give you the third-round pick, and the Broncos, in all their infinite wisdom, said, nah, we good. Do you guys know how old Cortland Sutton is at this point? Because you probably think of Cortland Sutton like he's like a young guy in the league. Now, he's going to be 29 this year. You guys want to know how many 1,000-yard seasons that He has one in his career. That was pre-COVID. Now, you guys know the rules. I've given you this rule very, very simple. Anything you did pre-Moderna and Pfizer does not count anymore for me. Nah, man. Anything you did pre-mask does not count to me anymore. It does not count. You being really good in 2019 has no credence on today. That was 4 NFL seasons ago. Since then, you have not had a season over 900 yards receiving. Last year, you were just fine. He had 60 catches for 700 yards. You know who that is? Hollywood Brown. Would you take a third-round pick for Hollywood Brown? Of course you would. I can't believe the Broncos declined this move. I really can't believe it. It is mind-blowing to me that they got a call for a top 100 pick for Cortland Sutton, and they were like, nah, we good.
I mean, putting my Broncos receiver love aside.
Thank you.
If they had taken the deal, who's catching passes this year for Denver? And listen, I don't think Denver's a playoff team. I don't think Denver's going to be very good this year. I'm not telling you that Denver shouldn't be hemorrhaging players for picks. But if you're going to start a rookie, which Bo Nix is 29 years old, he's inching closer to AARP, is starting for Denver.
He is old.
Who is he passing the football to if they made this trade? Because I joke about it. They cut Tim Patrick. They traded Jerry Jeudy. In this world, they would have traded Cortland Sutton. Who's left?
Man, you better get things popping with Troy Franklin.
Who, by the way, reports are, quote, having a bad camp.
That ain't good. That ain't good.
Now, he's like a fourth-round pick, so, like, bad camp is relative. But, like, I understand. Putting my Cortland Sutton love to the side, I get how, hey, we have a rookie quarterback, maybe having, you know, actual pass catchers is a good idea. Having plumbers and janitors is not.
Their wide receiver group is Cortland Sutton, Josh Reynolds, Marvin Mims Jr., and their tight end is Adam Trautman.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad football team. That team stinks.
You know what's crazy? Is that pass catching group light years better than the Chargers?
Light years?
Light years.
I'd rather have Ladd McConkey than have any of these guys.
That's because Ladd McConkey is sight unseen. You don't know. You know what Ladd McConkey?
Courtland Sutton is sight unseen.
Ladd McConkey could be the exact same as Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims was a top 100 pick out of Oklahoma. He's just been nothing. What's stopping Ladd McConkey from being the same nothing? And Quentin Johnston can't catch a cold in L.A.
Someone on the text line said, CDOT, when you want to raise at work, but your boss says, let's revisit this in a few weeks. Are you holding out? Are you staying home? If you did that, you would get fired. The answer is yes. Yes, you would. The employer, no matter what your job is, has the power and they can find another person to work any job. That's how it works. That's not how his job works. It's not really how my job kind of works either. It's neither here nor there. Not to just pat myself on the back. I mean, that conversation has kind of happened before. Like, hey, I'm not planning on being here unless we get this right. It got fixed. Rob knows it got fixed very quickly when we had that conversation. So, yes, that might work at your job. If you are important enough, trust me, they'll get it fixed. Believe me, they will get it fixed.
This is in the same vein of Williams and Chase. Do you think Chris Jones started something? Because remember last year, we were saying no one holds out. They have to eat the fines. Who would eat the fines? What kind of foolish football player would hold out when you can hold in? Chris Jones did it. Got paid. Got paid twice, by the way. Got a mega deal and got a guy guaranteed money last year. Trent Williams, another 30-plus-year-old, is eating fines. Like, is Chris Jones blazing a path for veterans? It's not going to work for Ja'Marr Chase. It's different. But veterans?
No, I don't think so. I think the CBA has created this more than anything. The CBA has created it. That's why holdouts used to happen all the time, and the NFL has just written it in more and more and more to try to eliminate holdouts because obviously, like, the owners want the power over them. If you're Ja'Marr Chase, and it's important to note what's different with Ja'Marr is Ja'Marr's on his rookie contract. So the team can waive these fines the same way they can waive those fines for Brandon Ayuk. They can waive those fines for any player who is currently on his rookie deal. What made it different for Chris Jones is Jones wasn't on his rookie deal. Trent Williams isn't on his rookie deal. I mean, this is the time. This is the last little bit of leverage that you have going into the season to try to go get your money, to try to go get paid. This is the last little bit that you have. So I get it. This is just the business of the game. I always make this point, and I get it. You cheer for the name on the front and not the back. We all love the business of the game on the front side of it. We hate it on the back side. It has to flow in both directions. Teams cut players and trade players all the time, and we have no remorse for it. Then you have to at least respect if you're Ja'Marr Chase and you're scheduled to make $1 million and the ceiling is $35 million, I understand why you're not excited about going to work every day. I get it. And if that means you got to prove a point by not showing up to show your leverage a little bit, then the game is the game. It's not personal. It's business. That's what it is. It's business. Someone on the text line said, CDOT, you're crazy. Courtland Sutton would be the best receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't believe that. I don't think he's the second best receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs, if that's the case.
He would be second.
I'd rather have Rice than have him.
Yeah, that's the one part I put above him.
Yeah, I don't think he's much different than Hollywood. I just think he's I think that Courtland Sutton and Hollywood Brown are the same person. It is just one has a cool nickname and is just played on a different team than him. If you look at their numbers, they're the exact same wide receiver, those two. So, I mean, maybe you're arguing a six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. But trust me, the same conversation we had yesterday. If Courtland Sutton got added to the team, he ain't turning into some 1,300-yard receiver. That ain't who he is. Courtland Sutton is what he is. He is a 60-catch, 750-yard guy. That's who he is. That's who he has been his entire career. We are now entering year 7 for Courtland Sutton. He's almost 30 years old. There ain't no potential left in him as a player. There ain't none.
I mean, for his career, he averages 65 catches for 900 a year per 17-game season.
Someone on the text line says, Chase is in year 4 of his contract, CDOT. He has no leverage. I'd like to point out that so was Brandon Ayuk, and he just got paid.
Was Brandon Ayuk a first-round pick?
Was he a second-round pick? First-round pick?
I couldn't remember if he was a second-round pick. That would change the calculus. Now, maybe Ayuk was a first-round pick, and I forgot about that. That's very possible.
I feel like he was a late first. I could be wrong.
I thought he was early second. So that if he's early second,
to be 100% sure, I don't want to say nothing He was a first round pick.
Okay, so that you're never mind then. I thought he was early second. So that would have changed the calculus.
Yeah, he was a first round pick. He was the 25th overall pick that year. So he was 1 year behind because he was in the same year as Joe Burrow, and then he got drafted after. So yeah, he was entering his fifth year. So yeah, I mean, you could have franchise tagged him, whatever. But I mean, it's time to pay me. I'm on Jamar Chase's side here. I think he would get paid if he was on a regular team. He plays for the Bengals. Every team paid their wide receivers this offseason except Cincinnati. Everybody. That's it. No. I'm telling you. You guys love 700. It's crazy how much you guys love 700 yard receivers, but hate every other quarterback in the league. Like, wait, hold on. Cortland Sutton is you've had Cortland Sutton on the team before. He just had a different name. Juju's better than peak Juju is better than Cortland Sutton was.
I agree. The current iteration of Juju is not peak Juju, which is why I said he'd be the second best receiver on the team.
Really quickly here.
Juju ain't peak Juju.
Actually move on to the Royals. What do you want to do? Last 4 years? I bet you Hollywood Brown has more yards receiving than Cortland Sutton does. We can look it up. Last four years.
I'll pull up Cortland Sutton right now.
All right, I'll pull up Hollywood Brown. You pull up Cortland Sutton. And for the same people of old Cortland Sutton, he is Hollywood Brown. All right, I'm ready.
Do you want total or do you want
however you want to do it.
The last four years
for Hollywood Brown, he has had 267 catches, 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns. That is on average good for 78 catches, 897 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
All right, Cortland Sutton, last 4 years, he is 184 for 2,514, which is good for 64 for 850 a season and 5 touchdowns.
So worse. That's who he is. He's a worse version of him.
It is worth noting he only played one game during COVID.
That's fair.
He only played one game. The 1 year he got hurt is in this last four, so that's part of it.
All I'm saying is if the Chiefs got offered a third round pick for Hollywood Brown, I would help Hollywood Brown move if they got a top 100 pick for Hollywood Brown. He ain't played yet for the team. I trade him. The fact that the Broncos have this high moral standing on Cortland Sutton is crazy to me. You should have traded him. And yes, it would have been difficult for you this year, in a year in which you could finish last in the division. You'll be fine. Take this third round pick and use that to move up next year to go get legitimate, talented, skill position players to put with your 40-year-old quarterback next year. Your team's terrible. Look at your roster. Vegas has you guys over under at 5.5 wins. You'll be lucky to get to 7 this season if you're the Denver Broncos. That's a very Broncos thing to do is what it is. A very Broncos thing. Rob, on a scale from 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Royals right now? Like, where's your panic level on a scale from 1 to 10? So 1 being this is a nothing, a 10 being code red, they are going to be knocked out of the postseason, they're not winning the division, they're not making the wild card round. This is the worst thing that ever happened. Where are you at on a scale from 1 to 10?
6. They still should make the playoffs, but I think most conversation about the division probably died last night, and I think conversations that we have had off the air, and we've kind of hinted at could be a conversation on the air if the Royals make it about, oh, the Royals could make some noise this postseason. I think those conversations are dead. The Royals now reek of a, hey, they made the postseason. That's a great step. They're in the wild card round. They lose a best of 3 series in the wild card round, and it's October 7th, and we're done with Royals baseball for the year, but we feel a lot better about the team, and we are met with a lot of what-ifs about Pasquantino, but if this team gets matched up in the first round against the Orioles or, you know, the Astros or whatever have you, however it shakes out seeding-wise, I don't believe they are winning that series. So I think they're a playoff team still, which is massive strides. But, yeah, 6 in my panic.
Yeah, I would probably put it around yours maybe a little bit more. I'd probably put my worry meter right now at a 7. A 7 in regards to them winning the division. I think it's going to be really difficult to win the division now with this injury. If we are talking about them just outright missing the postseason, I'd probably put it at maybe 3.5, 4. I mean, it is 5.5 games, so you've got a comfortable lead here. But, I mean, 1, you lose 7 of 9, and you give up all the good ground that you have accumulated over the course of the season. Like, It's go time now if you are the Royals. Like, we can have this conversation, oh, it's just one game. You can't say that when it's less than 25 games left in the season. There isn't no, oh, it's just one game. No, every one of these games holds a paramount of importance, especially this stretch right here. All of the teams that you were playing would be in the American League playoffs. Houston would win their division. You play the Guardians on Monday. They are in lead in their division. You're trailing them. Minnesota, that's a team that you are fighting with for the wild card. At this point, now obviously it is important to beat the Guardians. If you lost the series to Cleveland and swept Minnesota, that is not a bad possible outcome. If you can create a 5-game distance between you and the Twins, and let's say you're 7.5 games up on the Boston Red Sox with 19 to play, that's not a bad outcome of what this week could possibly be for the Kansas City Royals. We can take more of your phone calls on the Royals, 913-586-7965. We're talking about the top story. Vinny Pasquantino out for the remainder of the regular season. He has a broken thumb. He is going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Coming up in about an hour, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. We're talking baseball right here on The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, sometimes the text line makes me feel like I'm crazy. This has kind of been a theme today. I read the text earlier where the guy said we won the 3 games against Cleveland in which Vinny didn't get a hit. This injury's not that big of a deal. And then it starts to make me think, am I making a big deal out of this? And someone texted in and said, hey, I'm behind the loop. I'm just getting off work. Can you tell me the latest on Vinny Pasquantino? So we told him. Broke his thumb. He's out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And the guy said, I knew something was on. That being said, Vinny hasn't been hitting of late, and we've still been winning anyway. This is something we can overcome. Maybe I'm missing something. I mean, since the All-Star break, Vinny Pasquantino has 8 doubles, 8 home runs. He is hitting .296 with the .325 on-base percentage and is slugging .497. For comparison, that is as many home runs as Salvador Perez, more RBIs than Salvador Perez. He has a higher batting average than Salvi. He has a higher on-base percentage than Salvi, and their slugging are 3 points off from each other. If Salvador Perez was hurt today, we would all acknowledge how big of a deal this is that he got hurt. Now, obviously, he plays a much more important defensive position than Vinny Pasquantino, so I don't want to factor that out of it. But if Salvi got hurt, we would all acknowledge how important losing that bat is in the lineup. They lost Salvador Perez offensively today. They didn't lose Bobby Witt Jr. offensively today. Let's not get that part confused. But as great, as important as Salvi has been, Vinny has been his counterpart offensively since the All-Star break. You now just completely remove that person from your lineup and you are replacing him with Nick Prado, or you are replacing him with Freddie Fermin, or replacing him with Paul DeJong. That's a drop off.
How much of what fans are saying in the text line is just fan coping mechanism? Like, well, they create a situation in their head to make themselves feel better about losing Pasquantino. Like, when I saw the news this morning, the Royals put out a release saying he's out 6 to 8 weeks, which, you do the math, that means the ALCS is the earliest he'd return, which looks less likely without him in the lineup. My first thought was, that stinks. The Royals' magical season probably has a ceiling now. How much of fans being like, oh, he's not even hitting, so it's not that big of a deal, not a big loss. It's just fans' coping mechanism.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a coping mechanism to me. Again, I'm trying to walk the line of, I don't want to be sky is falling, this is the worst possible thing that can happen. But let's say that 3 days ago, you were super optimistic about the Royals and thought that they could make a serious run in the postseason. After they swept the doubleheader against Cleveland, and I asked you, hey, why do you think the Royals could make a run? Vinny would have been in that conversation of people that were why they were going to win because they get great starting pitching. They were going to win because of 3, 4, and 5. You have the best baseball player in the world, and you can't really pitch around him because you got Salvador Perez right behind him and Vinny Pasquantino behind him, where you were going to have three guys that hit over 20 home runs and have over 100 RBIs. That was your offense. That was your engine. You lost it in a basketball analogy. The Royals lost a 21-point-per-game score, and now you got to replace him with a guy that averages 10 and a guy that averages 12. Now, that's fine. I think you ask most people, would you rather have the guy that averages 21 or have the two guys that average 22 combined? Give me the guy that averages 21 points.
I'd argue the Royals, and I'm a little more, I don't say doom and gloom, I'm a little more pushing that direction than you. I would argue the Royals lineup doesn't have a 10 and a 12 guy. I think they had the 21 guy, and they have a guy who gives you 11 but can D up a little bit, and then a guy who gives you 9 off the bench. I think they are losing production. You're making it sound like, you know, other guys can they're okay as long as other guys step up. Outside of DeYoung, who are the other guys that can step up to fill this void? I think for your basketball analogy, they're losing about 4 points in production. Two guys can fill the void, but I don't think you're ever going to truly fill it one for one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think you're going to do it. Can you piece this thing together for 3 weeks? It's not like you're talking like Vinny Pasquantino is going to miss 100 games and you have to figure it out. The Royals have two more homestands. Right? They have two more homestands, and they have, including today, they have, what, 12 more games against playoff teams? You don't have to hold it together for that long without Vinny Pasquantino. Basically, I think all you're asking the Royals to do in a realistic fashion is, can you simply make the playoffs now? I do think that some of the dreams about the Royals getting hot and making the World Series probably have to die a little bit now with you losing one of your key pieces with so little to go now in the rest of the season. And you made the point earlier, you're not the Yankees, you're not the Dodgers. Like, the guy that's coming in for Vinny, there is a significant drop-off where in some of those other scenarios, you got a former all-star that now has to step up in this scenario. That's not what you have. You're just a different roster than those teams. But just looking at this, and people, like, a big thing on the text line, what about the Cleveland series? Are we only talking about this one individual week with Vinny Pasquantino? Sure, he did not have a great week. He was hitting 174. Seems like a sample size argument here. Vinny hasn't gotten 25 at-bats this week. It just seems like a very weird kind of random start point to kind of point to, oh, they were fine without him. This is a significant injury that they're about to face. Like, this is the biggest challenge that they have had so far this season. For the most part, the Royals have not had to overcome many injury problems. You haven't lost Cole Reagans for a substantial period of time. Bobby Witt Jr. plays every single day for this team. Salvi's been healthy. What's the biggest injury they've had so far this year? Michael Wacha was out for a little bit.
I mean, it might be Renfro, who got hurt a few days ago.
So if you're telling me heading into the final month of the season, the biggest injury that you had was Hunter Renfro or Michael Wacha, you had great injury luck for the most part of the season. And sports happened here. It's not anybody's fault. Sports happened now at this point. How do you overcome this injury with you don't have a viable path? It's not like this happened in June where we all would have been saying go to the trade deadline and make a significant addition for a bat and try to push some of your chips in the middle of the table. All of your options to replace a pretty significant bat in your lineup are going to have to come from within. They're all going to have to be internal moves. So whether that's Freddie Fermin, whether that's Paul DeJong, all of your fixes are going to have to be somebody that is already on the 40-man roster. And I don't think they're deep in that regard.
And that's where I think, and I saw some of this on social media and a little bit on the text line earlier. Well, guys, look at, you know, 2015, they lost Alex Gordon and they were still okay. That's a very different situation. Alex Gordon was before the deadline. They added Zobrist and they were fine.
Like, big difference.
There was a massive difference there. Or maybe it was right after Zobrist got added. You kind of survive in advance. There is no magic reinforcement coming. I like Nick Lawson as a player, but he's not Vinny Pasquantino.
No, not at all. And I mean, that team, I would say, was just much more balanced than I think this team is offensively, where I think a lot of this offense is just, it's the fact that their heart of the lineup can really line up very well against just about anybody in the American League outside of the Yankees. But the Yankees, I mean, they're playing a completely different ball game than you are. Your 3-4-5 matches up against Cleveland, matches up against Houston, matches up against the Orioles in a lot of ways. So maybe this sounds doom and gloom. I really don't mean for it to sound doom and gloom. It's just I don't want to now undersell Vinny Pasquantino's injury and make it seem like it's not a big deal. This is the biggest on-the-field story with the Royals this season. Obviously, the fact that they are in this, the fact that we even care about this and are having this conversation, and with less than a week to go before the NFL season, the Royals are the top story. That is the win. But how they overcome the Vinny Pasquantino injury is the biggest hurdle for the Kansas City Royals this season. How do they respond? How do they do it? Can they hold on for the final 25 games of the season? This is the story with the Royals. We're going to be joined by Josh Vernier coming up in about 15 minutes, so keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Rob, let's talk a little bit of college football coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. That's next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.